Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Samach. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Samach. Before we begin the actual shiur, let's glance at the side where you see the nosei, the topic heading, where we have written the following: Noshim Shonos. The Gemara will open up with different types of women. Shehishila Lohen Beged, where the owner of a garment had loaned to these different kinds of women a garment. V'acharkach lov shosa he, and then she wore the garment. And afterwards, umotso lov kesem, and then she found a stain on the garment. The question being where the stain came from. Motai nitan litlois bohen umasai loy. Under what circumstances can the owner ascribe the stain to the woman to whom she loaned the garment, and under what circumstances not? Now, before we learn the Gemara itself, the general approach will be, even though it's a subject of a discussion, is that if, when ascribing the stain to the other woman, it will create a setback for the other woman, then there will be less likely a chance of my being able to ascribe the stain to her. However, if my associating the stain, the blood stain, to the woman that borrowed the garment won't cause any setback to the woman that borrowed it, then there will be more likely chance of my ascribing the stain to that woman. So now we turn to the Gemara, which opens up with a Tanaic source. We broke the source down into you'll see a machlokas and also different cases. So the source begins, Toila b'shemeres yoyim keneged yoyim b'sheni shela. A woman loaned a garment to her friend that was a shemeres yoyim keneged yoyim on her second day. Well, we've discussed this quite often in past dapim, so we won't spend time on too much introduction to what a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is, but we do know that she's a woman during her Yemei Ziva, and she saw blood on one of the days. The Torah requirement is for her to observe the next day, and that's what's referred to as the Sheni Shalah, the second day, the day after she saw blood, to keep that as a clean day, a blood-free day. And if she successfully does that, so she is then considered tahora after that. If the woman who borrowed the garment was a shomeres yom keneged yom, and she is on her, that we say the second day, the day that she has to keep as a clean day, so our Tanaic source says that the owner of the garment can say that the stain she found later on was from her, from the shomeres yom keneged yom on the sheni shela. And another case, ubeseferes shiva shelo tavla, a woman who had become Tamea and had to keep 7 clean days, and this is the woman that borrowed the garment. The owner of the garment, upon discovering the stain later on, can say it came from her, from the Seferis Shiva that did not as yet go to the mikveh. So a woman who needs to count 7 clean days after having become Tamea, during those 7 clean days, she's waiting to complete 7 complete days and then go to mikveh. As long as she hasn't gone to mikveh, she still is considered Tamea. Lefikach, well, as a result of this, he misukenes v'chaverta mikukeles divrei Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. As a result of the owner being able to ascribe the stain to one of these two women, so the owner is misukenes, she remains tahora, and the lady that borrowed it is is messed up, is ruined. What do we mean by that? So in the case of the Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom, the second day which she was hoping to keep as a clean day, she will now lose that day. She'll have to keep another clean day, because we're ascribing the stain, the blood stain, which is a sign of Nidah, a sign of, let's say, of Tum'ah, to her. So she loses that second day that she was keeping as a clean day, and she'll have to keep another clean day, a next day. That's what we mean, Mekukeles. And likewise, the woman who was counting seven clean days, let us say she reached day seven but had not yet gone to mikveh, and the owner had loaned to her this garment that she later on found a stain on it, by ascribing the garment stain to the Sofer Shiva, she loses all 7 days and will have to count another series of seven consecutive clean days. So that's what we mean, she is Mekukeles. This has been Reb Shimon Gamliel's teaching. Rebbe Omer, Eino Toila. Rebbe says that since you are causing a setback to these women, you have no, the owner has no right to ascribe the stain to them. Lefikach shtehen mikukolois. Therefore, both women are equally messed up. That's a literal translation, but it means, since I can't ascribe the stain to them anymore than to the owner, so both are considered tameos. V'shavin, there is agreement. Shetoyle b'shemeres yom keneged yom b'rishon shela, u'b'yosheves al dam tohar, u'b'visula shedomeha tohirin. Three examples, which we'll go over, but the principle in these three examples is that these are three cases, or three women, that when I ascribe the stain to them, I'm not causing them any setback. So a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom on her first day, the rule is she has to, that's the day she has the actual blood sighting, she anyway has to observe the next day as a clean day. So by my saying the stain comes from her, I'm not causing her any setback. Likewise, Yosheves Al Dam Tohar, this is a woman who gave birth, and after the initial Tumah period, a topic we've dealt with numerous times in this Masichta, there's a subsequent 33 or 66 day period of time where any blood she sees doesn't cause her any Tumah. So by my ascribing the blood to a Yosheves Al Dam Tohar, I'm not causing her any setback. She'll be Tahora anyway. And a Besula Shedomah Torin is a girl who is had her first experience of intimacy. So we know that the blood coming from her for the first couple of days, without getting into details regarding the Besula, but the with regard to her, the blood that she sees is ascribed to the breaking of the membrane that removes her virginity. And therefore, by my ascribing the stain to the Besula, it simply assumed to be Besula Dam, which is not a source of Tumah. So she doesn't lose out, and the owner will be able to remain Tahora. The Gemara now asks, the word Lefikach, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow a few lines up where you notice the word Lefikach has been dashed, underlined. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel had taught us about that you can be toile, she can ascribe the blood to one of those two other women that were featured, and the result is the source spelled out, and therefore the owner is Misukena, she remains Tahora, and the other women are messed up or lose out. The Gemara asks, why was it necessary for the source to spell that information out? It's obvious that if I'm ascribing the stain to the other woman, then I remain Tahora, and the other woman is experiences the setback. So the Gemara asks, why does that have to be spelled out? The Fikach Reb Shimon Leolomali. Why did it spell that out? It's obvious. The Gemara answers, you're right. Mishum de Rebbe. It's spelled out, the word Lefikach, or the explanation, appears in anticipation of the Lefikach that you find in the context of Rebbe. So you'll notice after Rebbe's name was underlined, there's also a dashed underlined Lefikach where his point is spelled out. Well, what did he say? Rebbe had said that you can't ascribe, the owner can't ascribe the stain to the woman who borrowed it. Well, if she can't ascribe the stain to the woman who borrowed it, so it would seem that that both are Tameos. Lefikoch de Rebbe Lomeli. Why does that need to be spelled out? The Gemara answers, Mahu de Tamo Hahi Dishtakach Kesem Gabo Tiskalkel. The one by whom the stain was found, she should experience the tumah or the setback. Idoch lo tiskalkel. The other woman should remain unaffected. Komash malon. So Rebbe tells us that both are affected. Omar Rav Chista, tomei v'tohor shaholchu b'shnei shvilin, echod tohor v'echod tomei. Two people. One was a tomei person and the other was a tohor person. And they, each one walked on a path. One of the paths was tohor and the other one of the paths was tomei. The reason for the tumah is a body was buried under one of the paths. So that we know that by walking over a grave, a buried individual, you experience tumah. We just don't know which path is which. All we know is that one of the two is tamei. Bonu the machlokes Rebbe from Shimon Leo. This would parallel the this case would be solved by analyzing it according to the machlokes Rebbe and Rav Shimon Leo. In other words, the ruling here would depend on each one of these shitos, each one of these opinions. According to Rebbe, who says you're not toile, we don't ascribe things to the we'll say the likely candidate, so we cannot say, we won't have the luxury of saying that the tomei person walked on the tomei path, thereby preserving the purity, the tahara of the tohor person. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, on the other hand, who said toilin before, he would say that, well, since we don't know the facts, we'll just say that the tamei person walked on the tamei path and thereby be able to preserve the tara of the tohor person. Maskiflo Rav Ado challenges Rav Chisda's comparison or aligning the case with the machlokes. Ad kan lo koma Rebbe hasam. Up till now, Rebbe didn't say what he did, except where he where Rebbe said that they're both Tameos, Elo de Travayu, Ki Hadodi Ninhu. Both of them were Becheskas Tara. In other words, we had two women. The owner, she was Tahoram, and the Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom on the Sheni Shelah, that woman could at any moment on that second day, after she observes a few minutes of cleanness during the daytime of that second day, she can immerse herself in the mikvah, and she'll be Tahora. So both of the women were on equal footing. Both of them were Bechezkas Tahor. So Rebbe says, I can't choose one woman over the other, and therefore both we declare to be on equal footing, and both Tameos. Ha-ha. But here, in the case of the roads, the pathways, my nafka lon mina. What difference would it make, or what reason is there not to do the toilin? And we could say that the tomei person walked on the tomei path. So here, what difference would it make to the tomei person if we ascribe him to the tomei path? Rav Chisda. Now, Rav Chisda said that whatever position Rebbe took of loy toilin in the case of the women, he will take over here in the case of the two paths. Soif, iyi tevilo baya. The Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom on the second day, she is not to be viewed as a tohor person. She still does need to go to the mikveh. Therefore, I can't describe her as equal to the other woman. and therefore she's considered Tamea, and even so, Rebbe is not Tole. Therefore, in the case of the paths, Rebbe will not be Tole, the Tomei person, as having walked on the Tomei path. Let's go over that again. Rav Chisda says, just like in the case of the two women, where we saw the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom B'Sheni Shelah as still needing Tefillah, and as such, she is still considered Tamea, and still Rebbe was not Tole, so too in the case of the path, where the man that happens to be Tomei, we won't be Tole, the Tomei path, on him either. And it goes without saying then that both people are viewed as being on equal footing, and both will have to be considered Tomeim. Itmar, Omar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, Tomei v'Tohor. Two people, one is Tomei and one is Tohor. We'll see that Rav Yosi Bar Chanina is essentially is continuing the discussion we just had of two people and two paths. Vafilu Tohor v'Tolui. And even a case of one person is Tor and the other person is Safek Tomei, Sheholchu b'shnei shvilin. These two people walked on two paths, Echo Tomei v'Echo Tor. One path was Tomei and the other path was Tohor. Toile Tomei b'Tolui. We will associate the Tomei path with the person who was Safek Tomei, v'Tor b'Tor, and the Tohor path with the Tohor person. L'divrei hakol, even according to Rebbe. So that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is similar in spirit to that which Rav Ada said above, where according to Rav Ada, in the case of the paths, there was no reason not to, even according to Rebbe, to ascribe the Tomei path to the Tomei individual. We have a question here that lasts a number of lines. You can see we have a long question marking the shin that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line. And the topic heading in the margin that we have recorded here is under the nosei, She'elas Rabbi Yochanan, Ha'im Toilin Kesem Bekesem. Rabbi Yochanan's question is, can we ascribe a stain on a garment to a woman that had become Tamei because of having had a stain on her garment? And we elaborate here a bit. Isha sheshila chaluka lebailas kesem. A woman had loaned her garment to a woman that was Tamei because she had experienced a stain. The acharkach lov shasa. And then the owner, after getting the garment back, wore it herself. Umotso alel kesem, and she found a stain on it. Ha'im balas hacholuk yecholo litlois hakesem beisha balas hakesem. Can the owner say this stain came from the other woman, the woman who had been who had become tamei because of her own stain? The Gemara. Bo mine Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda bar Levoi. Mahu litlois kesem bekesem. Can the owner of the garment who just found a stain associate or assume or attribute the stain to the woman she had loaned it to that had become tamei because of a kesem? Aliba de Rebbe loti bayaloch. According to Rebbe, who we saw above, you'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow higher up on the page, and you'll see Rebbe said Eino Toile, that even though you were dealing with a Tomei type woman, he still says you can't be Toile the stain on her. So Aliba de Rebbe, there's no question, loti bayaloch. Hashto ma hosam the kochazia migufa above regarding the shomeres yom on her yom sheni shel on her second day. She was a woman that had an actual blood flow. You would say that she is, we'll say, very suspicious in having made the stain, and yet amre seina toga. Even though there's such a great, the arrows are pointing in her direction, yet Rebbe says you can't associate the new stain with that woman. Hacha, in the case of the woman who borrowed it, who was only a, we'll call it a stain victim, demei alma kaasi, a stain may have come from some outside source. So she's less suspicious of having produced it, so lo kol shekein, certainly Rebbe will not allow you to be toila on her. So the question about that was posed to Rebbe Loi was not a question asked within the context of Rebbe's opinion. It's clear that Rebbe would not accept this idea of toilin. Kiti boy aloch aliba de Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. The question is raised according to Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, who was also featured above. Hasam who it might be that there in the case of the Shemeres Yoim, where just the day before she had an actual blood flow from her body, the Kochazio Migufa, she saw from her body a blood flow, Talia, so there we say that you can ascribe the stain that was found by the owner on that woman that she had loaned the garment to. Hacha, in the case of the stain, the woman who had become tamei because of a stain, the me'alma ka'asi lo talia. Here, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel will not allow you to be toila. She is not the balas hakesem isn't so suspicious, we'll say, as having had a blood flow. Or maybe there is no distinction, and just like Reb Shimon Leo there allows you to be toila on the tomei woman, so too here the Reb Shimon Leo will allow you to be toila on the woman who's tomei because of the kesem. Omar Le, Rabbi Yehuda Levoy answers, ain toilin. No, you can't be toila on her, and as a result, both women will be tomei ois. Ma tam, well, why not? Lefi she'ain toilin. Rashi on this point says, he explains a little more toward the bottom, Lefishein toilin de me alma asila tumas kesem kamo velo becheskas royohi. The woman who was tamea because of the kesem came from it could be that it came from me alma, from an outside source altogether, and it she's declared to Tamea because of a din d'rabbana, but not because she is a woman who is assumed to have had a blood flow. She's not becheskas roya, and therefore it wouldn't be fair to be toila on her. Eisvei, the Gemara raises a question. This is a long question. You'll notice we have a long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line. It will take us to the top of Omid Beis. We have a Tanaic source that says, Ein toilin kesem bekesem. Hishilo chaluka lenochrus o liyosheves al hakesem hare zu toila ba. First stage of our discussion is to focus on that which we dashed underline. It says in this source that if a woman had loaned a garment to a yosheves al kesem, means a woman who had become had been tameo because of a kesem, so the owner is allowed to be toila it the kesem that she now discovers on that balas hakesem. Well, that's contrary to the psak of Rabbi Yehuda bar Beloi, Rabbi Yehuda bar Levoi, that said ein toilin. Here you say harei zeh toila ba. We have a bracketed section. Initially, we should skip the brackets, as our note regarding the brackets in the inside margin indicates. And by skipping this, we'll be able to see at the top of Amud Bey's Mikol Mokum Kasha, the question remains. In other words, the question that we're raising right now remains after this bracketed discussion. Now, when we focus on the bracketed section, the Gemara will point out that this source we just read seems to be inherently contradictory. So we have to resolve this understanding of the source before we can get back to our main question. We, in our marking system, when you have a bracketed section, we use a bracket length indicator to show how long the bracketed section is. Here we have a vertical dash dotted line you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and it extends till the top of Omid Beis. The Gemara points out, Ha Gufa Kasha, this Tanaic source is inherently contradictory. Reisha Amres Ein Toilin, Seifa Amres Toilin. In the Reisha it says, Ein Toilin Kesem Bekesem, that I can't ascribe a stain to a woman that already had a kesem. And the Seifa says, you are able to be toile ha lo kashya. There is no contradiction. And how is that? There are three approaches, and we've numbered them off, 1, 2, and 3. Ha Rebbe, the ha Rav Shimon Gamliel. Very simply, the section of the source that says Ein Toilin, the beginning, that's according to Rebbe, and we've seen above. Rebbe was not a major advocate of Toilin. The section of the source that says Toilin, that's in accordance with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who we saw was an advocate of Toilin. Ikar D'Amri, another version, Ha V'Ha Rebbe, both sections of this source are in accordance with Rebbe. Ha B'Rishon Shela, Ha B'Sheni Shela. Let's not forget, Rebbe, we had learned earlier, was of the opinion that if you are not going to cause any setback to the woman upon whom you're toile, so then you're allowed to be toile. So that if the woman, the balas hakesem, the woman who was already tamea because of the kesem, simply was on her first day after seeing the kesem, so we're expecting the woman to observe 7 clean days. So if she's on her first of those 7 clean days when this issue comes up, so I'm toile on her. She's not being set back at all. She's not losing any time. She still has to keep she has to keep 7 clean days anyway. Ha. So Rishon Shalom would mean the stain that's being discovered now is on the same day that the Balas HaKesem had experienced her own original stain, which says she has to keep 7 clean days from today anyway. Ha B'Sheni Shalom, however, if the Balas HaKesem, the woman to whom I had loaned the garment, had already kept 1 clean day, and she's now on her second day, so by ascribing the stain to her, we're setting her back a day. We're making her lose out the clean day that she already counted. And so, and under those circumstances, then Ein Toilin. Rav Ashi Omar, a third approach, Ha V'Ha Rav Shimon Gamliel. Both sections of this source are in accordance with Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Lo Kashya, and still there is no contradiction. And we continue now at the top of Omid Beis, Kan Lemafreya, Kan Lehavo. According to Rashi's approach, which Tosfos disagrees with, but we're following Rashi's explanation regarding retroactive tuma. In other words, declaring tume things that had already been handled. That's a topic that we've seen extensively much earlier in the Masechta, the issue of retroactive tuma. So there we will say we're toilin on the balas hakesem, and that the owner of the garment we won't mitame the items that she had handled in any retroactive fashion. Kan lehaba, regarding tuma that has to be observed from this point onwards, so I'm not going to be toile the stain that's discovered now on the woman to whom I had loaned the garment. Rashi at the top says, Kan lemafreya, leinyan tumas mafreya toilin, thelo mekalkula lo b'hochi, you're not causing any setback to the woman herself, the woman who had borrowed the garment. Velo tetame lemafreya. There won't be any retroactive tuma. Avol mikan ulahabo ein toile. But regarding the tuma from this point onwards, I'm not able to be toile in the woman that borrowed the garment. The mekalkilo lo, I would be causing her to be tamea. Umay chozis. Why should I ruin her any more than the owner? So at this point, where the brackets closes, we can say we've resolved the Tanaic source itself, Mikol Mokum Kashya. But after all said and done, the source mentioned that we are toilin, and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Levoi said we're not toilin. Amar Avino Loi Kasha. You notice we have a double underline. This represents, is what we've indicated on our under our Mivneh heading in the margin, Shlovim Betirutza Kusha Rabuda Bar Livoi. These are stages in answering and resolving the problem that we raised against Rabuda Bar Livoi. So the Gemara says, Hachiko Amar, we shall read the source thusly. The source that posed the problem, that is. Hishila Chaluka Linochris Balas Kesem. Hare zu toile ba. If I had loaned the garment to a Gentile woman who had experienced a stain, so I can be toile the stain that is discovered now on her, the woman, this Gentile woman unto whom I had loaned the garment. And there, I'm not causing any setback. The Nochris doesn't experience tuma anyway, and the Torah woman will, the owner will remain tahora. You might ask, how can you give this answer? Because linguistically, it says v'ha oy liyosheves al hakesem katoni. In other words, in the source, there were two separate cases. There's loaning the garment to a nochris, or to a woman who is yosheves al hakesem. So the yosheves al hakesem is not the nochris. The Gemara answers hachi kalmar. Thusly, we shall understand the source. Oy liyosheves al dam tohar balas kesem toile ba. If there is, in fact, a second case, a woman who was yosheves al dam tohar, that's a woman who had given birth and she's now experiencing the tohor days. So the woman that has the stained garment can ascribe the stain to the Yosheves Adam Tohar who had just borrowed the garment. And the reason for that is, as we said, there is no setback being caused. So that the source has two cases. One's a mashil to a nochris, and the other one is the case of being mashil to a woman who is experiencing her tohor post-birth days. And as we've said before, any blood she sees is viewed as tohor anyway. So by ascribing the stain to her, I'm not causing anyone a setback. Shalosh shelovshu v'chulei shoya Rabbi Nechemya v'chulei. Rabbi Nechemya had said that anything that itself is not mekabel tuma does not serve as a surface for which we would mitame any stains. Amar of Matana, my time of the Rebbe Nechemya. What is the basis of his teaching? Dechtiv v'niksa la'aretz teshev. And we darsh in this pasuk, kevon sheyoshva la'aretz niksa, that once she sits on the ground, so she is cleansed. The idea being that the ground is a basis for cleansing, for tahara. Before going on in the Gemara, we will notice a couple of triangles here on the side, on the margin of our Gemara. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a topic heading together with a structural note. A triangle is featured, and we've written Dugmois Shel Mitzias Dam Al Dvorim She'enom Mekablim Tuma. Different examples of finding blood stains on things, on items that themselves don't absorb Tuma. As we continue in the Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Chanina, Mitayer Hoya Rabbi Nechemya, Afilu Ba'achore Klei Cheres. Klei Cheres are earthenware vessels, and the rule regarding earthenware vessels is that they become Tomei through their airspace, through their interior. However, the outside of Klei Cheres do not repel, or they are resistant to Tuma. So Rabbi Chanina tells us that if a blood stain is found on the outside of a kli cheres, it is not considered as a kesem, as something that would be metame. So the Gemara says pshita, that's obvious, isn't it? According to Rabbi Nechemya, things that are not mekabel tuma don't mekabel ksumim. So that if a, let's say, a woman had sat on an inverted kli cheres and got up from there and noticed that there was a blood stain, she would not be Tamea. Shita. What Rabbi Chanina is telling us is obvious.
once Rabbi Nechemi the Mishnah tells us that some is not makabel tumah, is makabel ksomim. So this is dover. This is an example of some is not makabel tumah. The Gemara says, "Mal detaim oligzor gaboy otu tocho." Maybe there would be room for imposing a rabbinic restriction, saying that a stain found on the outside is mitame, in anticipation of the case of a stain found on the inside of the vessel. Let us say a woman had sat on the interior of a kli cheres, and a stain was found there on the interior, so it would be makabel. It would be a stain because it's a dover hamakabel tuma. Komash malon, the point of Rabbi Nechemi is we don't make such a gzera, and we treat the outside with one standard and the inside of the kli cheres with a different standard. Omar Abaye, metayer hoye Rabbi Nechemi b'matlonias shein b'hem shalosh al shalosh. A stain found on pieces of fabric, matlonis are pieces of fabric that are very small in size. They're less than 3 by 3 fingers in size. That's a 3 by 3 finger size piece of fabric is the minimum size piece of fabric for Kabbalah's Tumah. So he says that a stain found on matlonis that are less than 3 by 3, the lochazion lo laniim velo lashirim, it's not fit for the poor, and certainly not for the wealthy. In other words, no one would use pieces of fabric so small, and hence they lose all significance, and as a result of that, they're not mekabel tumah, and as a result of that, they would not mekabel ksomim either. Dorash Rav Chiya bar Matana Mishmei Derav Halocha Kerebi Nechemya. So Rav Chiya rules like Rebbe Nechemya in the Mishnah. And that being said, would be that Dover She Eino Mekabel Tumah Eino Mekabel Ksomim. Omar Le Rav Nachmon, Rav Nachmon here raises a question. You'll notice we have a long question marking. The kuf that's encircled the immediate right hand side of the more text with a descending vertical dashed line. Rav Nachmon says to Rabbi Chiya, Abba Toni, Abba, my father has a teaching, a Tanaic source, Maise Bo Lefnei Chachomim. V'tim'um. An incident like this came to the Chomim, and they ruled. They ruled that she was tameh. V'ad amras halachah Rabbi Nechemya, and you're ruling like Rabbi Nechemya that there would be no tumah. My he. Here, the Gemara wants to know what is the background. So. The Iker question, though, has been raised, and that's why from this point in the Gemara onwards, we have a brackets that we use to show that the main question has been raised, and after the brackets, the Gemara gives you the answer. And the answer is in the form of, it's more, we'll say, Tanoi Hi. The basis of the question is that how can you, Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Matana, rule like Rabbi Nechemya when he is argued upon by the Chachomim? The majority disagree with him. So why would you choose to go like a minority opinion? The Gemara will answer that claim that it's a majority opinion that is mitama, that itself is a Tanaic controversy. The Gemara after the brackets points out Tanoihi, Desanya, Rabbi Yankiv mitama, Rabbi Nechemya mitahir, that it's only a Shitas Yochid. Rabbi Nechemya will say that there is Tuma, and Rabbi Nechemya says it's Tara. Vahoru Chachomim Kerebi Nechemya, and the Chachomim rule like Rabbi Nechemya. So that the issue of we're maintaining that Rabbi Nechemya is a minority opinion, that itself is a Tanaic controversy. So now in the brackets, the Gemara gives the background to the issue of the Chachomim who were Metamet. The source says, Desanya Shtei Noshim Shoyu Tochanos Berechayim Shel Yad. Two women operating a hand grinder. So one has to imagine a grindstone with a long handle protruding from it. And this, we're talking about something that's a circular grindstone. And in order to operate it, the manpower used, or in this case the woman power used, they would grasp the bar and revolve the grindstone one upon the other in grinding whatever needed to be ground. So you have two women operating this grindstone,
And then blood is found tachas hapnimis, under the inner woman. As we mentioned, there are two women that are operating this grinder by holding the handle. The inner woman, the woman closer to the grindstone, is called the inner one. So the circular motion that she makes by walking around and around will have a smaller diameter. She's the inner one. Tachas hapnimis, if blood is found under the inner woman, under the inner revolution, so shtein tameos, both women will be considered tameos, because it's possible that the outer woman moved inwards as they were working. Tachas achitzona, if blood is found under the circumference formed by the outer woman, so hachitzona tamea vapnimis tahora. Only the outer woman will be tamea, the inner woman tahora, because it's not normal for the inner woman to veer outwards in operating the grindstone. Bein tayim, if the blood is found between the two women, shtehen tameos, both are declared to be tamea. We don't know from whom it came. Hoya ma'isa v'nimtza dam al sfosa shalom bati val ola shel zayas. An incident happened where blood was found on the edge of a tub or on a leaf of an olive branch. Ola shel zayas b'sha'a shemasikos es hatanur, as at the time that they were firing up an oven. The main point is that which is dashed, underlined. The ola shel zayas is something, a leaf from the olive branch, is something that's not mekabel tuma. Ubo ma'isa lefnei chachomim v'timum. An incident like this happened, and the chachomim declared both women to be tameos. So we see from here that it's a majority opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Nechemya, that will hold that even though the stain ended up on something that's not mekabel tuma, that doesn't prevent us from ruling the women to being tameos. This is a kasha then on Rabbi Chiya bar Rav, who opted to rule like Rabbi Nechemya, a seeming minority opinion. The Gemara responds, Tanoi hi. The declaration that it's a majority opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Nechemya is itself a Tanaic controversy. For behold, we have a source, the Sanya, Rabbi Yankov Mitame. The reason or the basis, the opinion that holds Tuma even on something that's not Mekabel Tuma is a singular opinion. It's Rabbi Yankov's opinion. Rabbi Nechemya Metahir, and Rabbi Nechemya disagrees. Vahoru Chachomim k'Rabbi Nechemya, the Chachomim ruled like Rabbi Nechemya. So that Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Matana has a strong basis for ruling like Rabbi Nechemya. Because at the end of the day, this last Tanaic source indicates that it's only a Shitas Yachid that's going up against him. The Mishnah. Before we go on in the Mishnah, we have a topic heading. And you'll notice in the outside margin, and it reads, Shalosh Noshim Yeshenus B'mita Achas, a case of three women that are sleeping in the same bed. V'nimtza Dam, and there is blood that is found on the bed. So you have three women that were all sleeping in the same bed, and blood was found there. Shalosh Noshim, the Mishnah says, Shohayu Shenis B'mita Achas, V'nimtza Dam Tachas Achas Mehen, and blood was found under one of them. So Kulon Tameos, all three women are Tameos. Even though blood was found under one of the women, it's not assumed to have come from her any more than any of the others. Bodko achas mehen, the nimseis tmeya. If one of these women checked herself out and found herself to be tmeya, to have an internal blood flow, to, in other words, experiencing a blood flow, he tamea ushtei taharos. So she is, we'll say, the culprit, or she is the source of the stain found on the bed, and the others will remain tahoros. V'toilos zu bezu. This is an expression that will be explained later in the Gemara. Rashi on the Mishnah says v'tol zu bezu b'gemor meforesh lo. The Gemara will explain shim hoiso achas muberes toila hadam b'she'ena muberes v'hi tahora. In the event that you have women that are assumed not to have a blood flow because of their physical status, so they will be able to be toila the blood on women that don't have that particular status. The Mishnah goes on, v'im lo hoyu ru'uyin lirois, if the women were all of the same physical status of being those that women that are not expected to see blood. For example, they were all pregnant, or they were all nursing, so they all have the same status. Then royin oison ki'ilu hein ru'uyos. Then we view them all as if they are fit to see blood, and they'll be all tameos. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin. We call the Tap Nosei and the Mivneh. We will shortly see diamonds that appear. These are Shnei Deos, two opinions. Ma Hatotsa'a Shel Bedika Miyodis. What is the result of an immediate checking? In other words, we have the women on the bed, three women on the bed, and they check themselves immediately after discovering the stain. So we want to know what's the outcome of a checking that's done immediately. One, legabi bailo, one nafkamina will be regarding intimacy with their husbands. Number two, legabi taros, a second nafkamina will be regarding food that they handle. And three, umizeh yeh hashlochois l'mishnosenu. This will have ramifications to that which we learned in the Mishnah. Mosai nitan lomar sha'achiros toros. Under what circumstances will we be able to say that the other women are tahoros? Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, v'hu shebotko atzmo b'shiur veses. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and on this line we dot underlined the word shebotka. A few lines up, the Mishnah mentioned botka achas mehen v'nimseis tamea. So Rav Yehuda Omarav qualifies that and says that that which the Mishnah has taught, that the woman who checked herself and found herself to be tamea, enables us to say that the other two women will remain tahoros. That is provided the bedika, the checking, was b'shiur vesis, means immediately upon finding the stain. Sovar law, that means that Rav Yehuda Omarav is of the opinion or follows that kibar pado de Omar. Kol shebailo b'chatos taroiseo tameos. The case of bailo features the case that we've learned in the past about a couple that experienced intimacy, and immediately after the intimacy, the woman checked herself and found herself to have blood on the checking cloth. Her husband is said to have had relations with her while she was a nida, and therefore he'll have to bring a sin offering. The taroseha, the food items that she handled, are declared as tome. That's a result of an immediate checking. There's another case, by law b'oshem tolui. If she didn't check immediately, but with a slight delay, so her husband will be guilty of bringing or have to bring a suspended offering. It's called a Oshom Tolui, which is brought when there is a doubt concerning a Chiyuv Chatos. And the food that she handled will be tluya. Tluya means set aside, to rot. We won't actually burn them. So that regarding the case of the taros, we're dealing with a woman who had handled food, and case one was a case after her handling food, she did an immediate checking. If she sees blood, she will say that the food that she had handled just the moment before is definitely tameh. In the case that the checking, she had handled food and there was a slight delay before she checked, and then she did check and found herself to be tameh, the food that she handled, and we're speaking primarily about trumos and kutchim, things like that, that ordinarily are not allowed to destroy, here they will be set aside to rot because of the suffix that maybe they are tameh. There's a third level, baila potter, tarosel, taros, a case where a longer delay took place after the intimacy, and then she discovers a blood flow, so the husband will remain potter. We're not going to assume that she was a nida at the time of the intimacy, but rather upon the discovery that takes place a little while after the intimacy. And likewise, the taros that she had been handling will remain tohar. What we'd like to do is just to skip down into the Rashi of the first wide line. We have a double star. Rashi at this point connects the teachings of Bar Pada, these three cases, to how does this have relevance to the Mishnah? Reading in the Rashi, where the double star on the first wide line under the Gemara text, Umasnisinami de Kotoni hi Tamea Vakulan Tahoros, the Mishnah that said that the woman who checked and found herself to be Tamea, she is Tamea and the other women are Tahoros, Almo, by saying that the other women are Tahoros, we are saying Vadai Bedido Machsikinon. We are saying that the woman who found her blood flow, that she is definitely the one who is responsible for the blood stain. That's bedido masikinon dimitarinon lahanoch, that we're declaring the others to be tahoros. Almo kibar pado hu demashvi litaharois tuma vadois hecho de bodkoshir vesis. So that the teaching that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said that the immediate checking enabled us to declare the other women tahoros, that is in line with Bar Pada's approach that says that the immediate checking produces a situation of certainty. The woman who finds herself to be tameh, she's definitely tameh. And the others are definitely tahoros, just like Bar Pada says that the taros that the woman had been handling immediately before the checking are to be burnt. So this approach is characteristic, we say, as a Bar Pada, and not like the next approach that we see in the Gemara, the next diamond. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Rabbo Shaya Omar, Rabbo Shaya says, Afilu bailo b'chatos, even though the husband will have to bring a chatos, taroseo tluyois, the taros that she was handling immediately before are tluyos, in a state of doubt. Maybe she was Tamea a moment before when she was still handling the food, and maybe not. And the explanation for this distinction between husband and the Taros is Bishlamo Hosam, in the case of the intimacy, the reason that we will say that the husband is Chayef to bring a korban, in other words, he's Varai Tomei, Emar Shamush Akve Ladam, during the time of intimacy, so the fact that the male has this internal contact with the woman, the shamash is the male organ, so it prevents the blood from flowing. So at the time of the intimacy, okay, there was no blood flow. It's discovered through the immediate checking. Aval hocha, in the case of the woman handling the taharos, im iso dahavi dam, if there was a blood flow when she was handling the food before the checking, so why didn't we see any blood flow then? That's im iso dahavi dam man akve. If there was blood at the time she was handling the taharos, what was there to prevent its flow?
And since it since there wasn't a flow at the time, only afterwards, as even though it may be immediately afterwards, nevertheless it is afterwards, we are not going to declare the taharos as being tameos. So that Rav Oshaya's approach to this idea of an immediate checking does not create a situation of certainty. And as far as the Mishnah's case is concerned as well, the fact that a woman discovers herself to be Tamea immediately after the discovery of the stain doesn't create a situation of certainty, so that we won't be able to say she is Tamea and the others are Tahoros. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a new structure. We have double underlines with a house form. Under the Mivneh heading, we feature the double underline, and that highlights Rav Yirmiyah and Abaye. The house highlights the Moshal, an analogy. Moshal is Noisnim Moshal Laha, the Omer of Hoshaya, Shamash Ma'akiv is Adam. Gemara will feature two analogies to this idea of the male organ during the case of intimacy as restraining the blood flow. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Moshal de Rabbi Shaya Lamad Avar Deimeh, the idea of the Shamash being Ma'akiv es Adam that Rabbi Shaya mentioned, what can this be paralleled? Le Yeled Vizokin Shayu Mahalchin Bederech, a youth and an old person on a trip, walking on the road, calls Mashi Baderech Yelit Shoya Lavoi. As they're on the road, the youth does not walk quickly. He delays, enabling the Zokin to walk alongside with him. So he takes his time in walking. So the emphasis here is on the youth takes his time and waits for the Zokin to walk along with him. Nifnasulir, once they get into town and they part ways, Yeled Mimayer Lovel, the youth then runs home. So the idea here is that this youth is parallel to the blood, that during the intimacy itself, the blood, the youth, as in this analogy, is delaying. It doesn't come out immediately. However, when there is a separation of the man and woman, so then the blood has its chance to flow out. That's the idea of the youth now hurrying on its way, the blood hurrying to flow out. The Omer Abaye, Moshel de Rav Oshaya Lamad Avar Deimeh, Abaye gives his analogy to explaining Rav Oshaya, or illustrating Rav Oshaya. So it's Lamad Avar Deimeh, what's it compared to? La'odam she'noisen etzba ba'ayin. It's like a person putting his finger in his eye, calls man she'etzba ba'ayin dim'o she'olavoy, when the finger is in his eye, so the tears don't flow out. Notal ho'etzba, when the finger is removed, dim'o v'maheres lavo, then the eye starts to tear. And the analogy would be pretty clear if you parallel the tears in this example to the blood flow from the woman and the finger parallel to the man's internal contact during the time of intimacy. The toilois zu bezu. That was a phrase we saw in the Mishnah, and we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can parallel this star to the star that you find a little higher up on the page, and you'll see where this quote comes from. Tana Rabbanan, the Tanaic source, is brought in to explain this phrase. Ketzad toilois zu bezu. Ubra v'she'ena ubra. You have a woman who is pregnant and a woman who is not pregnant. A woman who is pregnant is understood to be a woman that you would be misulekis domim. She doesn't have a menstrual cycle when she's in a state of pregnancy. Toila ubra v'she'ena ubra. So if a blood stain was found on the bed, like we saw in the Mishnah, the ubra, the woman who doesn't expect to see blood, can say the blood came from the other woman. Menika v'she'ena menika. A nursing woman was also a woman that's misulekes domen, and a woman who's not. Toila menika v'she'ena menika. The menika, who is a one who would not expect to see blood, she says that the blood came from the other woman. Zekeno v'she'ena zekeno. A zekeno is a woman who is past the
point in time when blood flows cease from women, called menopause. Toilo zekeno b'she'eno zekeno, besula v'she'eno besula, toilo besula b'she'eno besula. Likewise, the besula, a girl who has not experienced any blood flow, and a woman who is not a basula, so the basula can explain the blood's presence on the bed as having come from the anal basula. Hoyu shtein ubros, shtein menikoi, shtein zekein, shtein basulos, if both women were of equal footing, both not the cheskas dom, and both of them having a status of non-blood flow, zuhi shishoninu, this is what the Mishnah meant when it said lo hoyu ru'uyos liros, if the women were not fit or not expected to see a blood flow, royin at the very top of samach aleph amud aleph ke'ilu hein ru'uyos, we will view them as if they are fit to have a blood flow, and both of the women will be tameos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.